Hello, Internet. Welcome to episode 59 of the Assorted Calibers podcast, the second amount of podcast. There's a little bit for everyone. I'm Weird Beard, and I am joined by a whole bunch of people. I swear to God, we will go back to the regular format, but you know what? This idea was just too good, because it seemed that a huge contingency of the Assorted Calibers podcast crew was at LibertyCon, the weekend before the recording of this. So with me, we have, of course, the wonderful hostess, Erin Paulette.
I'm so tired. I drove. Next time I think I'm going to fly. It's going to be more expensive, but like they say, it's not the years, it's the mileage.
Mm-hmm. We also have David.
Hi. I also drove, but thankfully I live in the same state.
Who also lives in the same state is Oddball.
And I'm the crazy one that's going to do the whole thing again next weekend. Actually, this weekend.
And also making a triumphant return, and who is not living in the same state, and I don't know, we'll have to see who traveled the furthest, is fan extraordinaire Xander Opal.
Hello. About 700 miles, and I'm well rested because I drove it all at once.
One of us.
Well, he certainly drove further than I did. I only drove about 750 some miles. Whoa. 550 miles. You know what? I'm going to stop talking now because numbers are suddenly difficult.
Numbers are always difficult.
What? I will drive 500 miles and I will drive 500 more.
Come on, everyone, join in.
I had to Google the thing. From where I live to Chattanooga, Tennessee is 522 miles. There we go. So Xander drove at least an additional 200. I think he wins.
Yeah, 200 both ways. Or are we doing round trip?
Oh. I went one way.
Well, good times. So let's get down to brass tacks here. What is a LibertyCon?
Take it away, Oddball.
I was about to ask. LibertyCon is a science fiction convention, primarily literary. And what differentiates it from a lot of other literary sci-fi conventions is that it has a tendency to focus on military sci-fi and is very much the conservative or the right-wing politically leaning convention. I go to lots of science fiction conventions, and I'm used to feeling like I'm probably the most conservative guy in the room.
Not even close.
I feel oftentimes I'm one of the most liberal guys in the room.
I want to add something. I didn't think it was all that conservative, to be honest, mainly because I was there full out as myself, and not only did I not get any problems, but I got a lot of people who were congratulating me for doing what I do and saying I'm doing a good job. But I also lost track of the number of compliments I received on my appearance.
And that's one of the inherent aspects of LibertyCon, is you've got the traditional openness and acceptance of science fiction fantasy fans with a, I don't know if I would say extreme conservatives, as Oddball was implying, but just more classic liberal.
Libertarian.
Small L libertarian for the most part, because these are people who believe in strong borders and things like that.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I don't know if y'all read or clicked on the link I sent, but I was interviewed by, well, it may not be correct, but he is notorious for allegedly being extremely conservative. John De La Rose, who interviewed me and had a great time and, gave me hugs, and we're we're getting along great.
The thing is, I've not met him personally, but I have seen a bunch of his posts and reactions to his posts. And John is definitely more on the conservative side of the scale, but he's
not the Haiti McHaterson people make him out to be.
Yeah, or the other way I was going to put it was he's not an asshole about it.
Yeah, and
it's not unless you push him. If you push him, he will go, you know, like full on. Oh, yeah. And yeah, but
he'll go full on Mad Mike.
But
oh yeah, and LibertyCon has managed to keep the atmosphere of sci-fi cons that I grew up on, which right. was, oh hey, we're here to have arguments over who's better, Kirk or Picard, not
right.
real life politics. You know, we can do that, but we'd rather have fun this weekend.
Yeah.
They also argue which military weapons are better too.
Speaking of which, I got my hand on Mad Mike's penis bone.
Yes.
I hope you're talking about a Baculum.
Yes.
Okay, great, because I'm terrible at remembering names, but yes, that is the walrus penis bone, which is turned into a hunting club.
And did you say, you cut out just for a second there, did you say walrus?
Yes.
I believe that's what he said, yes, it is the penis bone of a walrus that is used to hunt seals.
And may the marine biologists chime in and note that the of all the Baculum-holding species, and that would be certain animals, like the human being, attain an erection by simply using blood flow.
Hydraulic pressure.
Yeah, many animals like dogs, cats, bears, and pinnipeds, like the walrus, actually have a bone that they can extend into their penis and make it erect.
I was under the impression that the penis bone was the vast majority of species, and there were fewer ones that used the hydraulic pressure.
I believe you are correct on that, though. I mean, when you get to like pseudo penises on like ducks, there's that too.
I'm sure you could do an entire lecture on the penises of ducks.
Yes, I could. As a matter of fact, shall I start?
They're actually kind of interesting.
Not be unseen.
Yep. Nope. Going back to the sense of like the character of LibertyCon, one thing to keep in mind is the major publisher that is a serious backer of LibertyCon is Bain, and one of Bain's authors is of course Larry Correa. Another is Mike Williamson, Tom Kratman, and I'm sure we're all pretty clear on their political stance on many things. One of their other headline authors is Eric Flint, who is a self-avowed communist. So, and you know, I've seen last year Eric and Mike sitting next to each other on a panel chatting and laughing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And, why does Bain have Eric Flint? Because, well,
he sells books.
Bain are a bunch of serious capitalists, and Eric Flint sells books.
Right.
Same reason why Hollywood has Clint Eastwood. He hasn't been drummed out of the business because no one wants to take that pay cut.
Yep. And the thing is, Bain, Toni Weisskopf is the top of the pyramid at Bain, pretty much. And she's at LibertyCon every year, as far as I know, unless something comes up. And pretty she much, flat yeah. out says that they do not care about a writer's politics. They care that they write good books that people want to read.
Well, that was one thing I wanted to bring up is the whole, is it GalaxyCon? What's the
WorldCon?
World
Science Excuse Fiction me. Convention?
Yeah.
You're talking about the Hugos, right?
Yeah, the Hugos. Exactly. All the debacles with the Hugos and
sad puppies and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, however you feel about the sad puppies and the rabid puppies and all that stuff. I mean, as Larry has said, look, my job is done here. All I wanted to point out was that it had turned from a contest on who can write the best story to who is the most popular kid in this hyper political sphere.
Yep.
And getting to the point where, I mean, he was straight up accusing people of just not even reading the stories that they were voting for because the person who wrote it was the right kind of person, and whether or not they wrote a good book was irrelevant. And I think everybody who enjoys reading should roll their eyes at that, because I mean, I won't name names, but people who I have known, you know, bloggers who I've known, there's a ton of, I mean, bloggers write. So bloggers write books. Some bloggers like Marco Close has written amazing work. And Larry, of course, well, I don't know if Larry's a, Larry's a blogger first.
Absolutely.
And yeah, then, blogger and hung around on forums. That's actually how he started the first Monster Hunter book.
Yeah, it was back when we were all on the High Road bulletin board system, the first trembling attempts at writing for both him and Mike Kupri.
But I have read a few books by some other people who I know and I like, and they're good people, and I did not enjoy their books. I'm just going to be quiet about it. I don't want to be mean about it, but at the same time, it's one of those like, they keep writing books, and I might be wrong. A lot of these people are still writing books. So, hey, guess what? They're, you know, more power to them. It wasn't my speed, and, you know, good on them. But guess what? I'm not going to sit down and read a book that is not good because I like the person who did it, or I like the politics of the person who did it. And I'm not going to vote for them to win an award because I like a book that's good. I would much rather read something, though. I think he's kind of gone past the sell by date, but Stephen King is one of my favorite authors. And hey, guess what?
Well, the main connection doesn't hurt for you.
It does not. The fact that I've been in many of the locations that his books have taken place, or at least many locations, because Castle Rock's not a real place.
No,
let me tell you,
I've been to real places.
I've been to a lot of the places that are Castle Rock. But you know, I don't agree with his politics. I don't agree with a lot of his worldview. You know, I've met him personally, and he seems like a nice enough guy, but I don't know. He's had a checkered past, so
yeah. Oh, he did a lot of coke.
He did a lot of coke and a lot of drinking. But let me tell you, The Green Mile is one of the greatest books ever written. So that's that.
Yeah, I still watch movies, and it's pretty much impossible.
You can stop there.
Watch
right?
a movie that
oh,
isn't
I mean, I'll go. I'll go watch someone that hates me. We haven't gone that way on the film tracks, but like at some point we're going to have to bite the bullet, and we're going to have to watch either a movie directed by Roman Polanski or something starring Kevin Spacey. And hey, guess what? Terrible people, the both of them.
Yeah. Oh, but my wife and I watch The Ref every Christmas. It's one of our traditional Christmas movies.
What's the connection on that? That's Dennis Leary, but who else is in that?
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he plays the father.
Yep.
And he has just some great lines. And, you know, much as he's a disgusting person, as we've now found out, he's also a really good actor.
Oh, yeah, he's got game.
A little too much in some aspects.
So, at LibertyCon. Back to LibertyCon. Yes, back to LibertyCon. I was given, and I've got to find it here. Aha! I was given two very nice presents by Xander. Well, one of them is nice, the other one's to be seen. So he gave me a mug, which I'm guessing he had made. And
Nope, let me find the link.
The universe made it for you, Aaron, and Xander just found it.
Well, I thought it was something like, you know, with Vistaprint where you can upload a design and they put it on there.
Right.
But it's a white coffee mug, but it's got a Rainbow Dash saluting, and it says, "Drinking coffee, just got 20% cooler." And so thank you for the coffee mug, Xander, that will be put to good use. The other thing he got me is a bottle of beer. And I have been on record as saying I do not like the taste of beer, and he is trying to convince me otherwise. So this is a bottle of New Holland Brewing Dragon's Milk, and it's bourbon barrel-aged stout. 11% alcohol by volume. And he made me promise that I would wait until we were recording so that Weird could... I guess enjoy the impression of me doing it. And so, well, Xander's here now, and that's perfect. So he's going to get to listen to me imbibe the beverage as well. So,
excellent. Did you get any other presents?
yes, but let me deal with this one first.
Okay.
I might need to be drunk to talk about that one.
Without a base, without a trace.
All right. So this is kind of an audio-only version of the Try channel on YouTube.
Yes.
And somebody just posted up earlier, I saw this and watched it. It's a link to them, Irish people trying Pusheen, which is basically Irish moonshine.
Oh.
And of course, it has my favorite drinker on that channel, Ciara. She of the Iron Throat.
Oh, yes.
And what was really funny was one of the other guys, was it Dermot, I think?
I think it's so hilarious that the Irish get such a, rightfully so, because they all seem to be people that take a drink under extreme social pressure, if you will. Yeah. But I'm just amazed at the, you guys are Irish and you are the people who invented whiskey. And I'm just seeing them all drinking whiskey with, or just distilled spirits with the poorest of form. And
oh, we watched one. It was Irish people drink Irish whiskey. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny because there are the two guys, Dermot is one of them, in the Pusheen one. Dermot's like, who else is doing this? Is Ciara in this? Ah, she's going to make us all look like idiots. But he was also in the other one where it was where she was not, but it was Irish people drink Irish whiskey. And it was the two fellows. It was, whoops, hey, stop that. It was Dermot and this other, oh no, that was the rum one. But it was Dermot and this other guy whose name I can't remember right now.
We'll call him Declan because it's Ireland.
No.
Well, while you're looking, all right, so this
Martin.
Is...
Martin. This and is they're Martin. Just enjoying the rum.
Aaron's going to give impressions.
Okay, Aaron, impress us.
All right.
Quiet on the set.
All right, I'm going to take a drink of dragon's milk. Well, it's not awful.
High praise.
And unlike most beers, it doesn't taste like I expect urine tastes like based on the smell. It's
oh, I just want to get you and Dennis in the same room with beer drinking.
Did you chew before swallowing?
So here's the thing. What it reminds me of is a thinner Guinness.
I can see that.
Okay.
I'm not really sure what else you want. I mean, okay, it's not like I'm spitting this out and saying I'm not even going to finish the bottle, but on the other hand, I wouldn't buy this on my own. So it's a C.
Well, I mean, for someone
it's also 11% ABV.
So yeah,
you'll be feeling it, but if you manage to slug through the bottle, you'll notice.
All right, roasted, malty, and smooth. Okay, it's definitely roasted. I think I can taste malts. I'm not okay. Smooth, as opposed to what? I mean, it's liquid.
Well, no. Smoothness is in drinking terms is often denoted as the opposite of harsh.
What's a harsh drink?
Harsh burns your throat.
Yeah. Burning. Okay. It tastes like burning.
Burns your throat.
Okay. All right.
Prickles your nostrils, makes your tongue burn.
Yes, that is absolutely true. Nor does it act like Goldschlager, where it like sinks its claws in on the way down and scratches all the way to your stomach. So I'll be feeling this. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Okay. I can't do it all in one thing, but I'll be working on it. Sorry, Oddball. You go ahead.
Oh yeah. So let me put down some knives and pick up the bottle so I have the right thing.
Oh, by the way, you're gonna have to talk about the knives and the button.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
So I am drinking a couple blocks away from where the convention is the Chattanooga Whiskey Company, which I believe I shared some of their normal stuff at NRA con to much happiness.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones that made
that bourbon you let me try. Is that same place? Beautiful.
Same place. One, I found out that since they now have like 5 experimentals that they only sell at the distillery, and then 5 beer barrel finished that you can mostly only get at the distillery. You can buy flights of whiskey in the back.
And for people who don't know what flights are, that's basically when you line up the shots in little rows like ships.
Yes.
You know, it's the booze version of here comes the choo-choo train.
Yeah, as a general rule, it's the like for someone like me who I've bought a bunch of flight glasses specifically for the point when I don't know what I want to drink tonight, but I can narrow it down to a few. And by narrowing it down to a few, that does not mean that I want to be completely hammered by the time I'm done.
Oh, I just had a beer shutter.
Ooh.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know.
So tonight I am drinking the opposite of what Aaron is drinking. Instead of beer that was put into a bourbon barrel, I have bourbon that was then thrown into a beer barrel.
Ah, beer finished.
Excuse me?
Specifically, this whiskey was put into a barrel that had Heaven and Ale Brewing Company Creme Brulee Milk Stout in it, and it's quite tasty.
Ooh. Oh, that sounds nice.
That would make for a very, very interesting finish.
I'd like to trade, but I mean, how much does it actually taste like a creme brulee? Because alcohol that tastes like a dessert?
This is not like...
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
This isn't like apple pie sweet at any by any stretch of the imagination. It still has the harshness of whiskey, but... It does have a bit of the aftertaste of creme brulee.
I don't know how many times I'm going to burp. I'm sorry.
It's a beer thing. Don't worry about it.
They are just creeping up on me.
Aaron, you led with tired, and you're also drinking beer, and you're not a beer drinker. So these are things that happen.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, yes, but I'm trying to be delicate and demure and ladylike.
So, Aaron, do you want to talk about your other gift, or you want me to talk about my gifts?
One of the many pictures. Let me tell you, Aaron, yes. You have gifts.
Yep. Well, thank you. I bought them on Amazon.
But hey.
I mean, unless you're talking about something else.
I am just talking about your just ability to turn into absolute cheesecake. Like, I mean, just one of those. It'd be one thing on the, oh, that's hilarious. But you have like an entire roll of the Jesus Christ woman. Dial it back a little bit.
Well, so here's the thing.
The children.
I couldn't. Okay, so here's what Weird's talking about. There is an album on my personal Facebook page called, I think it's like Aaron and the Bubba Truck. And so the Bubba truck is a big old crew pickup with all sorts of hazmat stickers, and there's a mock-up of a chain gun up front. And I was asked by the gentleman of the Bubba truck, one of whom is Brian Lee Nadd, and I don't remember the other fellow. I'm so sorry. If you get back to me with your name, I'll be sure to give you credit. But they asked me, like on Sunday, if I would pose. And I was like, you want me to do what? And they explained it, and they basically, they were doing Girls of the Bubba Truck. So essentially, they wanted me to pose, they wanted me to give them cheesecake as for a pinup calendar. And had this been Friday, it wouldn't have happened, because I can't go into this cold. But I had been among my people for 3 days, and they had been welcoming me, and they had been telling me I was doing a good job, and they were giving me all sorts of compliments and telling me how good I looked and how cute my dress was, and I was doing a great job on my makeup and all these other things. And it was just, oh, what the heck, why not? I mean, I thought that their judgment was questionable as well as their taste, but... Honey, if you want pictures, I will give you pictures. Mm-hmm. And
you did.
I started off rather mild, and that was great. And then I mean, I don't know, maybe they just wanted the one and that was it, but I just decided, well, I'm here, I'm looking good, I'm feeling comfortable, this may never happen again, so pose. And I did all sorts of things, and it never got to vulgar or in poor taste, but it certainly got to campy and outrageous, I think are good adjectives for that. And, you know, if you just go to, like, my personal profile, you know, my profile picture and the banner, they've been replaced with pictures from that photo shoot. And so here's what you need to understand. There's something that I call the Rebel Wilson effect. And Rebel Wilson, you probably remember her as Fat Amy from Pitch Perfect. Mm-hmm. And the Rebel Wilson effect is, if a girl is sassy and confident, that subtracts weight and adds cuteness. And so I just, I went with it. And I tried my best to be, you know, a model draped over the hood of a car. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how well I succeeded, but, you know, people are laughing good-naturedly and telling me that I look adorable. So I guess I did okay.
I'd say you did very well.
Well, thank you.
Oh, no, you did great.
Remember that in the game room, that woman who gave that whole series of compliments and just a couple of minor suggestions.
Yeah. She came up. It was weird. She thanked me for being me, essentially. And really what it comes down to is, I guess she's had some bad experiences with trans women who are just, well, okay, I'm a woman, so I'm going to put a dress on, but I'm not going to shave. I'm not going to put any effort, you know, that sort of thing. And so she told me that she really appreciated all the time and effort I put into it. And I did a really good job on my makeup. And oh, that right there, that gets me. Because I feel like I still haven't figured it out. And then she gave me some constructive suggestions like, you know, you should try purple for eyeshadow. It'll really make your eyes pop. And okay. And so later that night, Xander was kind enough to take me to Walmart, and I got a I got a palette of eyeshadow, which included purple, and I put it on. It was like, hey, what do you think? And she, oh, that's great. And she really appreciated that. And so basically everyone I showed it to was like, yes, that's fantastic, do that. So, which is great, because purple is one of my favorite colors. So hey, I didn't use it, because at one point I experimented with blue, and I was told that you have to, you know, blue is a very bold choice for eyeshadow, and if you can't pull it off, it'll look horrible. So I just issued all shades of blue, including purple. And it's kind of nice to know that I can wear purple. So as to that other gift given to me by David, so...
Hello.
What? Yeah. So, without spoiling what it is, David, why don't you mention the whole auction and so forth?
Okay, so every year at LibertyCon, as a way to raise money for the charity of the year, they have an art auction. You know, they've got one of the conference rooms all set up so you can walk around and take a look at all sorts of art. I mean, everything from painting to sculpture to metalwork to fiber arts. And of course, it's mostly fantasy science fiction related. Oddball, I expect you to tell about the painting that you bought, which was just awesome and adorable.
Yes.
But so I'm walking through this and I see this thing and I,
thing.
I look at this. And
yes.
Aaron must have the thing. Aaron must have the thing. This thing must be hers. And I wasn't sure, because of all of the other possible commitments, if she would get there. So I'm like, I'll take care of this. So I bid on it.
Yeah, the minimum bid was a dollar. And I,
yep.
And I don't think you bid more, did you?
Of course I did.
Oh.
I bid two. I doubled it.
Ooh, big spender.
And I went back and checked, because if someone else had bid, I would have outbid them. And one of your friends, who I will leave anonymous because I don't know if he wants any notoriety, said that he would put up to $20 on it to make sure you got it. I think I told you about that. Because it was just absolutely necessary. And so I did win it, got it, and presented it to Our Lady
in the dealer's room,
actually, yes.
Yep.
So, to describe this, it's a piece of fiber art, knitted. I think it's acrylic wool. I don't think it's actual wool, but a knitted acrylic. And it is...
the picture says acrylic yarn.
Okay. And I don't remember which one it is.
We'll get to that in a moment, but... It's a knit hat based on fandom. Because I am into ponies, this is a knit hat based on Twilight Sparkle.
That's the one, Twilight
Sparkle. So the best way you could describe it is it's a Twilight Sparkle cunning hat.
Yes, there was a lot of love that went into that hat.
Yes, and I do not want to say anything bad about the crafter, but I just there's something about the eyes that just screams, kill me! which is probably why David thought it was hilarious. So
one of the reasons.
So brace yourselves, sit down, make sure your bladders are empty before you take a look at this.
That is how it looked hanging in the auction room. It's just
so David found me in the dealer's room, and the dealer's room is where I acquired a tiara, and I want to talk about this. So when I went in there, there were a group of, I don't know, 2 to 3 women, and they were buying tiaras, and I do want to say multiples. I don't know how many they got. But the dealer went to go find boxes in order to box up their purchases. And I don't know if they were truly enthusiastic about the tiaras or if it was a case of now we must justify our spending, because they were going around to the other women and saying, you must get a tiara. It's that whole, well, if other got it, then, you know, it must be good and it justifies. And I'm looking at them and some are really not my speed, but there are a couple there that are cute, and I'm going, but do I need a tiara, really? I mean, the prices are reasonable, but do I need it? And then I thought, you know, I'm HBIC, if not one, but two pro-gun nonprofits. I run the largest pro-gun queer group in the country. Do I deserve a tiara? No, it's like, no, do I need a tiara? No. I deserve a tiara. And I bought one that I thought was cute, and it's not really understated because there's really no such thing as an understated tiara, but one that was like not outrageous and would go with a variety of outfits, and I got all sorts of compliments. And so I'm in there, I'm wearing it when David comes in and he wants a picture of me wearing this hat. And I say, well, that would necessitate me taking the tiara off. And then one of the boys said, well, put the tiara on, you know, on the hat. And, well, you know, considering that Twilight Sparkle is a princess, and so she frequently wears a tiara, it made sense. And so we had Audible end up taking the picture because he's so much taller and he could get a good overhead view of me wearing both.
We both did
it. Yeah.
For some reason, I cut out and I stopped hearing everybody.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah. You're good now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're good now.
So like the whole thing just froze for some reason while I was trying to upload that picture for some reason. I don't know.
Aaron Paulette has all the headgear.
Yes.
Yeah. You're going to have to edit this, but I subtitled that picture, Princess Gives No Fudge.
Yep.
And I think that's...
Look upon her garden of
fudge.
It is barren.
And, of course, Oddball just went AFK right when I was going to call upon him. Oh, well.
Well, I was present for the entirety of his gift, including the presentation, which I think I handled quite well. Would you like me to tell the story or wait till he gets back?
Wait, you mean my gift? What?
The item you gave me to give to Oddball.
Okay. You go ahead and do that, and then we'll talk about the knives I gave him, but yeah.
Okay. All right. So I believe we bumped into each other in the game room because we were going to go and do something. Uh-huh. And you handed me this item and said I had to give it to Oddball and he had to wear it.
Uh-huh.
So I see this and I find Oddball and I say, and I don't show it to him. I just say, Aaron gave me something for you, and I think it's very important that it's presented you in front of your wife.
Yeah.
And Oddball's face kind of goes a little whiter than usual.
And I did say, oh dear Lord.
And hung his head. And walked like a little boy going to his punishment. So we walk over, and there's... Well, actually, everyone knows your wife's name, so I can use it. I don't need to be protective of that.
My wife.
Yes. No, that's mine. but since there's story time with Panya, I can say Panya. So I find Panya, and I tell her that Aaron gave me this to give to Oddball, and I thought it was important that you be present, and I show it to her first, and she starts giggling and nodding her head and saying, yes, absolutely. So I then turn around and hand it to Oddball. And Oddball, what was this item?
It was a button.
Uh-huh.
A button that read, adult supervision required. Now, the reason why I was AFK was because I was looking for the other items that Aaron gave me.
Yes.
And I believe Panya has already hidden them from me.
Has she hidden them with the green scaled skull handled knife?
No, that one's on my desk.
Hasn't taken that one away from him because it would mean she'd have to touch it.
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah. So I thought that one wasn't going to be allowed in the house.
It was because I took her to fancy dinner.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Who doesn't respect an honest, heartfelt bribe?
Right. No, Aaron, after giving me the button, or no. Rather having David give me the button.
No, I, no, that, beer. I started to say, no, that's not right, but then it's like, no, wait, no, I did see you that other time in, mm-hmm. and you were wearing the button. I said, oh, you're wearing the button, and then I brought the things to give to you. That's right. Okay.
Yes.
Yes, Oddball wore that button for the rest of LibertyCon.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I did.
All right. So do you want to describe them? Or do you want me to? I don't know how you want to do this.
I can describe at least one of them. Aaron gave me, along with the button, and as I was wearing the button, gave them to me, two terrible knives.
I believe the phrase I used was, Oddball, I have some Oddball, I have some jackassery for you, I think is what I said. I know the word jackassery
you may be
was
correct.
Used. Yeah.
There was mention of knives that you did not need in your house anymore and thought Oddball would appreciate them or something like that.
Yeah. More like I didn't want them and I thought he would find them funny or useful or something.
One of them was kind of a generic bad knife, except for the fact that it weighs like 8 pounds and it's a little pocket knife. I don't understand where the weight comes from.
Depleted uranium.
Yeah, it's just this heavy folding knife with the serrated blade and the tanto tip and one of those fast deploy knob things that broke off very quickly. And at that point, I couldn't get the blade open anymore. So it's like maybe he can fix it or the boy collects knives. You know, I'll just give it mm-hmm. to him.
And I think it says tactical on it somewhere.
Probably. It
as if it wasn't obvious enough.
It feels, well, I mean, it's got a lot of chrome or nickel or shiny stuff on it, so it's not tactical in that regard, but the design is very tactical.
Yeah, and I think you actually like that one. What I would say is polished aluminum, but aluminum doesn't weigh that much.
Right. So I was surprised by how much he liked it. He's like, you know, it needs a little work, but overall it's a good knife. And so it's all right. Great. Goes to a good home. The other knife.
I wouldn't
say. And then
say
there's the other
knife,
one.
But it works.
but then there's the other one.
The other one was not nearly as heavy, was in fact made out of an aluminum handle in the shape of a wrench, which Aaron helpfully pointed out could not actually be used as a wrench.
So there's like a socket on one end, and then there's like a non-adjustable crescent on the other, but because it's made of this really cheap aluminum, and because there's a big separation for the knife channel, it can't actually be used to wrench anything.
And it's a very good thing that knife isn't actually sharp, because on the side with the socket, you can totally feel the blade edge with it closed.
Oh dear.
I am amazed in abject horror.
You know, the more you see of the knives that Oddball buys, the more frequent that set of feelings go together.
Yeah, and I looked at that, and it's like, this is such a piece of crap. I have to give it to Oddball, mainly because I wanted to see his reaction to it. And his reaction was bemused horror, I believe.
Yes. For the record, David, the terrible knife I bought at Smoky Mountain Knife Works, I'm blaming you.
Me?
Yes, you pointed out the mermaid knives.
They're at least pretty.
No, that was the other person in our party.
Oh, was that the other person in our party? Okay, I blame him.
I pointed out the cane with the revolver handle that you did not buy.
But also, you're responsible because you were the oldest of the group. Therefore, you were the adult.
I was not assigned to that, and my wife was with us as well. And she is a responsible party. As everyone knows, I am not.
Who then abandoned us in the store.
Yeah, because it was funnier that way. She wasn't wrong. Although the funniest part is we're standing by this one display case. This is not LibertyCon. This is back during the blog shoot. We're standing by this one display case, and behind it on the wall are a variety of really nice axes. And I look at that, and I quote the line from Adam's Family Values, "Ah, an axe, that brings me back." And then a minute later, almost as if I summoned her, my wife appears, and I point to the axes, and she looks at me, smiles, and says, "Ah, an axe, that brings me back." And Oddball was almost choking on laughter.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to LibertyCon. Did you guys get to sit in on many of the panels?
I did.
Cool. There are always more panels than there's time.
I sat in on a few. If we're going to talk about experience with contributors, though, I would like to point out that I met Steve Jackson in the con suite.
Yes.
And I did not corner the man. But I'm not sure if I was introduced or if I just went up and went, "Holy crap, it's Steve Jackson." And I talked to him, I don't know, I have 10, 15 minutes. I wanted to have a nice conversation with him, but I didn't want to be one of those people who just talks at him and ruins his night. And so first of all, I wanted to thank him. Because early on in my blogging career, I don't even remember which blog post it was anymore, but he sent me an email that basically stated, "Hey, wow, you make some really good points. You're a good writer." And I was, "Oh, crap. I didn't expect that. That's really awesome." And I wanted to let him know that that one action, which was probably very minor and forgettable on his part, meant so much to me. And it made a difference in my life, and I wanted to tell him just how deeply I appreciated it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I wanted to thank him, and that was basically it. And then I handed him my card, and he looked at it, and he said, "Oh, so what's Operation Blazing Sword?" So I talked to him about that, and he thought it was a great idea, and as he pointed out, well, he lives in Texas, so... I mean, contrary to his assertion, not all Texans are pro-gun, Austin, but most of them are, and he thought it was really cool, and all right, good job, and things like that, and that was great, and so we were getting along, and then I went, you know, I've got to take this opportunity, or else I may never get it again, I got to do it now, and I said, And I basically started off with, so I don't want to tell you how to do your job, and I apologize if it comes out that way, but if I don't say this now, I'm going to kick myself. And I'd just like to point out to you, sir, that Good Omens is very popular on Amazon right now. And so I think it's time for a republication of the role-playing game Innomine, and just make a, you know, a 20-year anniversary version of Innomine. And for people who lack context, Innomine is a role-playing game where people can play angels and demons. And Good Omens was one of the inspirational sources. It was, you know, it wasn't the core material. I mean, that would be the Bible, but, you know, it was really up there in, like, the top three. And I just said, you know, it's really insanely popular show right now. If you updated the rules and you know, printed it out as, like, a leather volume, yeah, I think it would sell well. And he thought about it for a moment. He says, you know, that's worth considering. And so it wasn't a shut up, kid, but it was a, you know, you raise a good point. I will investigate that. And I go, great, my job is done.
Yeah, I was introduced to him last year. The friend who actually urged us the strongest locally to go to LibertyCon, and in fact, we wound up sharing a hotel room, used to work for him or with him. And so last year at LibertyCon, she made sure that I met him, and then she had us all go to lunch together. I'm sitting across the table from Steve Jackson. Oh my God, don't be an idiot. So this year was a little bit easier because I already been there, and Steve's wife has been fighting a health issue, but she came to the convention anyway. And we saw them, and our friend who we went with was also looking forward to seeing her, Steve's wife, again. So we go and see them, and my wife is just a very outgoing and caring person. So she sees Steve, says hello, and the next thing I know, she and Steve's wife are chattering away like old friends. It's an amazing skill that she has. And he's just such a nice, low-key guy.
Yeah, he is.
But the two panels I managed to get to this year, there were a few others, but the two that I got to this year that are I make a point to try to get to was the No
Crap
There I Was, which is military guys telling stories of shenanigans while they were in the military, and then the Sea Stories panel, which is the same thing for the Navy. And unfortunately for the No
Crap
There I Was panel, at the exact same time, Tom Kratman was running a different panel. So didn't get any more of his stories in that. I mean, he was telling them in other panels, but I didn't make those, unfortunately. But there were some really good stories. Did any of the rest of you get to that one?
No, I wish I did.
Yeah, which ones did you go to, Xander?
Let's see here. I went to the double solar dynamo panel presentation by Stephanie Osborne. Very, very interesting thing on solar physics and how it might well affect upcoming weather in future years.
Well, that's just intro for a moment. For folks who are not familiar with LibertyCon, it's not just science fiction, fantasy literature. There is a lot of hard science that goes on with this. So when Xander is talking about going to this panel, it was being run by scientists who work in that field. Some of them are at the top of their field.
Yeah. I mean, very similar to when you're reading a story and someone flicks the safety off their Colt revolver. You just go, oh, come on. It takes you right out of it. The same thing comes when, you know, somebody accelerates really, really hard and there's no real problem with the G forces in outer space. And it was like, no, this person wouldn't be able to move or be going unconscious unless we write something in to let you know that there's inertial dampeners or what have
right.
you.
Right. Or reverse the polarity of the neutron flow.
Yes.
All right. Ow. I got a headache from that one.
Yeah. Star Trek Next Generation. Every third episode is a required line.
Well, okay, reversing the polarity, sure. I don't remember reversing the polarity of the neutron flow.
I'm sure it was in there sometime.
So two atoms,
they were always reversing polarity of something.
So two atoms are walking down the street. One of them says, "Wait, I think I just lost an electron." The other one goes, "Are you sure?" First one says, "Yes, I'm positive."
Mm-hmm. But hey.
And Aaron is approximately 1,200 miles away.
Correct. It's true.
Yep.
Okay.
So what else?
That
what
was
else?
Bad. Okay. Other panels I went to. Before I forget, Sunday morning, Aaron, I recommend this one for you if they repeat it next year. Pantsing for Beginners. It is three independent authors on how to write as presented by actual published authors as opposed to unpublished creative writing teachers.
And again, for those who are not familiar, writers are generally grouped into two categories, plotters and pantsers. Plotters will plot out everything and then write to fill in the gaps. Pantsers, it's as writing as by the seat of their pants. Mm-hmm. They okay. just it's just natural flow, and then they go back and edit.
Which I believe is John Ringo, as he probably wrote another novel on the way back home. And
yeah.
He lives like 10 minutes away.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, with John Ringo, pantsing has a whole different meaning.
Yeah, once again, he wasn't wearing a kilt again this year.
You could pretty much tell the congoers of the male variety. Because they were in kilts.
There were a lot of kilts.
Yeah, kilts were almost the unofficial con uniform for men.
Yes.
Kilts at sci-fi cons are extremely common, especially in the summer.
Yep. Anyway, other panels that I recall that I went to are one on cybersecurity. For writers, this is actually real-world security practices, things like backing up, UPS's backing up, and similar kinds of security. Cyber combat, which is how hacking works, as it were, for the layman. And friend Scott Bragg had a panel on how the Blade Files books that he and his good friend are writing came to be. I like cyberpunk.
Cool.
And yeah, unfortunately with me, I didn't see many panels this year. And honestly, at a lot of conventions, I don't go to a lot of conventions or a lot of panels. I end up hanging out with people most of the weekend and just enjoying being among other geeks.
Yep.
Oh, I was surprised when I learned that, wait, LibertyCon has panels too? I thought everybody went there to hang out.
Right.
That reminded the old joke about the young man who gets hired as the towel boy at a brothel. And
again?
There's a joke about a young man who gets hired as the towel boy at a brothel. And about a month in, the madam comes to him and says, "Is everything okay? You haven't been by to pick up your paycheck." And he looks at her in surprise. "You mean I get paid too?"
Yeah.
Good time. Good time. But I'm trying to find where are the panels that I went to. Of course, the first panel I went to was Friday, 3 to 5, 9,000 Years of Edged Weapons with Mike Williamson, which was made up entirely of items from his personal collection.
As he says, his collection has its own lawyer.
Yes, it has its own trust, its own lawyer, its own incorporation papers.
And its own penis, which I touched.
Yes, yes. And I mean, these are items that are going back, I think, what the early Bronze Age artifacts that he's somehow managed to acquire.
Oh, crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and he knows, of course, the history, and he knows the where this fits into all sorts of things. It was just really just almost overwhelming. I did video record it. I'm not sure how good the video came out. I know there were a couple of times I was jostled but it was just really, really neat.
Yep. Cool. Mike Shang hired me as a sword Sherpa to get ready for that one.
I did also try what I mentioned the, so Friday was that 9,000 years of edged weapons. And then towards the end of the day, the no
crap,
there I was. And then on Saturday, there were several in the morning that I wanted to go to, but there was morning. And well, oh, one of the ones that was really cool was, the Atlanta region. Atlanta Radio Theater Company, pardon me, got tracked there.
Yes.
Atlanta Radio Theater Company, about noon on Saturday, they had a gathering just to let people know who they are and what they do. And, you know, I grew up listening to those types of radio shows. You know, my dad and I would drive up to Vermont, for example, and we would listen to Tales from the Crypt or The Vault or Weird Tales or whatever other ones there were. Then after that, there was How to Write Compelling Short Stories. Now, it was supposed to be run by Lou Antonelli, who unfortunately, due to a family emergency, wasn't able to attend. But the folks who ran it did a really good job. There's this one young woman. I can't remember her name. If you saw her in Author's Alley, she was the one wearing the cow suit and offering cowtails.
Uh-huh.
Candy.
Was she also the one that has an amazing resting bitch face at Superversive Press and was like wearing a Wonder Woman costume underneath the cow suit?
Yes, she was wearing the Wonder Woman outfit.
I'll post that. I mean, she's very cute, but oh my god, that RBF.
Nope, Xander, it wasn't Evie.
No, Evie was not wearing a cow suit.
No.
Okay, I get mixed up on names so badly.
Oh, I'm horrible with names. But it was really good because I've been working on getting back into writing, and I've got a short story that I've been working on. It's up to about 12,000 words now. I just need to tie up the ending and then take a machete to it, the editing phase. And I'm going to submit that and see what happens. After that was the always fun Bane Traveling Roadshow and Prize Patrol, which is just generally fun.
And what does this entail?
Basically, it's the Tony Weisskopf show. She is the head of Bane, and it's talking about what's coming up, introducing some of the new authors that they've added to the team. That was where Sarah Hoyt was presented with the little stuffed moose and squirrel and said moose and squirrel in her wonderful accent.
And of course, with the Bane Traveling Roadshow, if you attend, there's a pretty good chance that you will end up getting a free book.
Yes. Or in my case, that did I give you a book? Give it back.
Yes.
I forget exactly what I said, but I said it loud enough for Tony to hear, and she looked me dead in the eye four rows back and said, if I gave you a book, you need to return that now.
You made a horrible pun, didn't you?
Probably. Yes, that's her. Very lovely lady, very talented. She's apparently been writing since she was like 14 years old.
A.M. Freeman. Not just like
from the look of her, is like 2 years ago. But very... The expression on her face is not at all representative of her personality.
No.
It is a glower.
Yeah. I don't know if I got to any other panels that day. Yes, that's her. There were a couple of others I wanted to get to, but stuff just happened.
I mean, I still don't know why she dressed as a cow.
It was quite simply, as she said, to get people's attention, to get them to her table to buy her books. Simply pure marketing. That was what she said.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it worked.
That's what she said.
Considering she's an attractive woman, I didn't think she needed the help, but okay, sure.
Whatever works.
Whatever works.
Yep. But yeah, I don't think I got... there were some other things I wanted to get through during the rest of the day. Like, I wanted to go to the too many of them, honestly. I don't think I got to those. But then went to the first half of the ARTC presentation, which was, Who is Killing the Great Science Fiction Writers of America? Which was very fun. And we were there for the just the first hour or so of that. And, you know, they changed the names, but it was very obvious. It's taking place during World War II, and these science fiction writers are being murdered. And it's very obvious. So they introduced this one character. He served in the Navy until, due to medical reasons, he was forced to take medical retirement and went on to write science fiction stories.
That's Heinlein, right?
Yep, it was Robert Heinlein. There's also Isaac Asimov. One of the other writers was Kilgore Trout.
I know the name, but I can't list anything he's done.
He's not a real person. He was a character created by Kurt Vonnegut Jr.
Right.
Okay. But he was a bad science fiction writer in the story.
So let me guess, Joe Buckley was the one who done it?
No. It was not Joe Buckley. But there was, and then, yeah, so we left that early after the first performance because we wanted to get to the Writers Tell Sea Stories, which, as I said, I attempted to audio record, but I don't know if it was successful. And then Sunday, I think we only got to one item before the closing ceremonies, which was Kickstarter, Patreon, and the World of Crowdfunding, which was interesting, but I'm not sure how much I'll benefit from it. Other than if I am involved with a Kickstarter, having a little bit more sympathy for the poor people who run it.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, David, with the Kickstarter panel, if you have any questions or think you want some more help with that, I am pretty good friends with two of the folks on the panel, Melissa Gay and Paul Blachek.
So I finished the beer, and for about the last third to quarter, didn't suck as much as the rest of it did.
You sound like you finished the beer.
Okay, what does that sound like?
A tipsy Aaron.
Well, some of it I think is just because I'm still tired from the drive, but okay, whatever. I mean, I'm not...
Tired and alcohol does make an interesting combination, though.
Yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't, like, drive or operate heavy equipment. So I may be impaired. I'm not drunk, but I can feel the filters failing.
Yes.
Oh.
It's better than me. The other night while I was recording Handgun Radio, Oddball, you were listening in for that whole thing, weren't you?
Yes, it was.
Did you catch the point where I'm pretty sure I started to nod off and my whatever I was saying went off into some weird land?
Yeah, I think there was one point where you're just, there was something that was going here, and it's gone now.
yeah, it was at some point I realized, I'm still talking, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, wow. And speaking of alcohol, one of the things that, makes a good sci-fi con is room parties.
Oh, yes.
The evening. And one of the room parties.
328.
Yep.
I never made it up to that. I had several invitations and I just didn't go.
Yeah, that was like the Manticore and Navy or something.
Yep.
Yes, and they brought enough of a complement of a bar that the dude made me an aviation.
Nice.
Okay. You say that like it's a major thing, but I'm not getting it.
Yeah, so I don't.
The aviation is a craft drink that eluded me for a number of years because it has gin. I got plenty of gin. It has Luxardo maraschino liqueur, which is a slightly more frou-frou but rather acquirable ingredient. Lemon juice. I mean, if you can't find a lemon, you might have some troubles. And creme de violet. Which is, I have never personally seen a bottle, and people will email me when they find a bottle of it just to show me that they acquired a bottle of this stuff.
That it really exists in the wild.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he was also making some non-alcoholic drinks for people like me. And it was a lemonade mix. It was lemonade and some other juice and cucumber, shredded cucumber, which I had never even considered, but it was very, it made it even more refreshing than lemonade usually is.
Well, and this was the variation with Chambord. He did not have creme de violet. Now, I mean, he didn't know what the hell I was talking about, and I just went, okay, yeah, this is how you make it. He went, oh, okay, yeah, sure.
But you'll be happy to hear taught him the Chambord variant, because that was something I brought back from Vegas with the bartender, which if I had known it would taken off this much, I would have made sure to remember the guy's name. But yeah, this bartender said, I asked for an aviation. He says, oh, absolutely. He said, how do you like yours? I said, I've never had one. And he goes, oh, cause I was going to ask if you like it my way or his way. His way is with Chambord instead of the creme de violet. It gives it a slightly different color. But I found the results to be like, he likes that one better, and he's right. It's really good. And Chambord, you can find just about everywhere.
But he was weird. You will be happy to hear that he measured.
Yes.
Yep.
Why is that a big deal?
I'm not entirely sure, but Weird has commented on, negatively commented on people not measuring.
As a general rule, the 90s are considered like the death of the cocktail, and the 2000s is the cocktail resurgence. And during the death, there was lots of use of things like, sour mix instead of fresh ingredients and throwing stuff together, but also a lot of bartenders free pouring and making that be a big deal, which there are a few people that absolutely can free pour and are really, really good at it. But as a general rule, the rest of us mere mortals, it's kind of like free pouring is kind of like point shooting. There are people that can absolutely pull a gun out and the sights never cross their line of sight and hit the target. But most people, you need to use the sights if you want to know what you're doing. And if you're free pouring something, you're not going to get a repeatable drink.
Free pouring is like wielding a katana. You either have no idea what you're doing or you have every idea as to what you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever get a chance, Weird, you really need to hang out at one of the Manticore Navy parties, Random Cocktail Hour, hosted by Nathan.
Nice. So what is a Manticore Navy? I know what a Manticore is and I know what a Navy is.
In this case, Manticore is the fictional kingdom, Star Kingdom, in David Weber's Honor Harrington series.
Oh, okay. I may even have one of those books kicking around somewhere inside my Kindle.
Yep. Very long series, very popular, and just classic science fiction space opera at its finest.
Mm-hmm. So Weird.
Uber.
Yes.
I think I have a platonic boyfriend for you. So, you are going to be coming to Phoenix this fall for GRPC. Now, I split an Airbnb with my adopted sister, Evelyn, and her husband, DR. Now, DR is a private investigator.
Ooh.
In fact, when he was living in LA, he was also a bounty hunter.
Oh, ho, ho.
A really cool guy.
He likes whiskey. In fact, he had several flasks of whiskey with him, and he has more than a fondness, because he was actively searching for one. He has a fondness for dive bars, and he wanted to go to at least one dive bar in Chattanooga, because when he goes to places, he looks for a dive bar.
Nice.
And I knew that you would just glom onto him. Really, about the only thing that doesn't make him a perfect boyfriend for you is the fact that he only thinks revolvers are okay.
Oh, we could teach him.
And so I told him that you would just think he was awesome, and you'd follow him to all these different bars, and you would drink whiskey, and he could tell you all sorts of stories about being a PI, and you would basically be his platonic boyfriend. And he wasn't sure how to take that, but I know that when you meet him, you are just going to get along.
Okay, now I'm excited.
Yeah, I met him for the first time in person this year at LibertyCon, and he and I just hit it off.
Yeah, that was pretty much the same.
He's completely...
I've met Evie in person before, but not DR.
He's almost completely different from his internet persona, mainly because the internet doesn't really capture his body language and the sarcasm and things like that. I wasn't sure that I liked him before I met him. It was like, okay, you're Evie's husband, fine. But then by the end of the weekend, it's like, you know what, you're pretty good. You're my friend. So I think you'll get along with him.
You're all right, kid.
Yeah. And I think it would be so cool if we could get you and him and Steve together and just, okay, here are the drinks. We hit record. Go for it.
Hard hit area.
And go. Xander, you wanted to tell a story?
Yes, yes. There are many science fiction fans who will be very amused by how I met author Sunday morning. I was reading a book, consuming the absolutely necessary caffeine for functionality before noon, and overheard a couple guys talking about events at a previous convention, and then one of them, this beanpole of a guy, light-colored hair, ponytail, wanders off to get his own caffeine, and so I asked the other guy, so who is that? And the guy asked a question of just broke down laughing, and oh my goodness, that's John Ringo. John, come here, you gotta come over here. This person's reading a book, you're one of your books, and didn't know who you were.
And John is an awesome guy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I didn't ask, but he signed the book and kept the place where I was reading.
Nice.
So classy.
Oh yeah. I mean, he can be a real
asshole.
I was gonna go with dick, but all right. But he's generally, you know, if you don't work at it, he's pretty much just goes along to get along. He doesn't go out of his way to be a dick.
And
somebody has to bring that out.
The biggest
someone has to bring the dick out.
is that he is a he's a pretty serious introvert. So he definitely has to work himself up to put his game face on to hang out at conventions.
Oh, is that it? I just thought he was being rude and ignoring me.
No,
he's, well, funny story from last year's LibertyCon involving Mr. Ringo. My wife was at one of the con parties and was standing there talking, and John Ringo walks up to her and says, I need to move you, just because he wanted to get to whatever was behind her, probably the bar. And she looks up at him. Now, she's 5'2", and he is much taller. So she looks up at him and says, fine, but we have to do a selfie first, because my husband will be jealous that I got to hang out with you. I was off at a panel. So I get a text with her selfieing with John Ringo. And the funniest part was, our friend who introduced us to LibertyCon is in the background, just kind of got caught, but it looks like a disapproving photobomb.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find that one.
And while he's looking for it, I'm going to tell this, and I'm pretty sure it's okay that I tell this because he publicly posted it on Facebook. But he posted, I guess it's been a couple of years now, a defense of people playing Pokemon Go, in that, you know, there were some folks that were fans of him that were making fun of people playing Pokemon Go. And he said that he had pretty much had enough of it, and stated that he had gone through a serious I'm crawling into my cave and never coming out bout, and which is especially bad when you're a professional writer, because then you don't have to do things like go out to go to work. And that getting involved in Pokemon Go meant that he was getting out of the house and walking and getting something vaguely considered exercise. And it seriously did very, very good things for his life.
Yeah, there was certainly just stuff to say about the Pokemon Go, and the fact that, like, I mean, I never actually played the game, but I definitely knew where all the Pokestops or whatever the heck the locations were in the game, because there would just be crowds of people of various ages all sitting around closely together in just random locations looking at their phones.
Yeah, one of our friends is a Pokemon Go player, and she'll just occasionally, we'll be out doing something, and she'll just suddenly take a sharp turn and wander off, and we're like, everything all right? Oh, it was a whatever stop or spawn point or something.
Mm-hmm. It's where the magic happens.
Yes.
So did any of you see Detective Pikachu?
Pardon?
Yes.
Did any of you see the movie Detective Pikachu with Ryan Reynolds?
I have not yet.
I need to.
Yes, you do.
I'm not going to call it a good movie, but but it's a fun movie. And it's okay. I fully expect that there will be plenty of Pokemon references in the next Deadpool. And it's almost like, you know, Deadpool's having a dream or something. It's just kind of the feeling that I get. It was fun.
You are not wrong.
And just the number of good actors they have for the property like that was amusing. And I don't remember their names, but in addition to Ryan Reynolds, you had that Japanese guy who was in The Last Samurai and in Inception, who's a really good actor.
Oh,
Yeah, him. And then there was that guy from Love Actually, he played the singer. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bill Nye.
Yes, Bill Nye. Yes,
think okay. So.
The older gentleman.
In Love Actually.
All right. Well, now I'm all getting is Bill Nye the Science Guy.
N-I-G-H.
Well, then that makes a difference. I think that's him.
And the other actor you're thinking about is Ken Watanabe.
Watanabe! Yes, Ken Watanabe! Yes.
Great actor.
Yeah, and there may have been some others that I missed, but it was like, really? They got some serious talent for this movie. What the heck?
Well, it's a big franchise, so I mean, honestly speaking, like they have money to throw at it.
I think they had a lot of fun making that movie too.
They did.
Well, also, if it sounds like it's a movie that doesn't really take itself too seriously, that's you could get a lot of people on that with the look. We're not going for an Oscar here. We're just going to have a good time. You know what?
I remember that it stars Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. It would have been awful, especially for people who don't know much about Pokemon. But Reynolds is there providing the running commentary and snarking about everything. And so that'll explain what you need to know. And it makes the entire thing immensely entertaining.
Yeah. And when was the last time Ryan Reynolds was in a movie that did take itself seriously?
Maybe Blade 3? I mean, I think the movie took itself seriously. His character, not so much.
Did not, no.
I think Green Lantern took itself way too seriously.
Ooh. Valid point. But I don't think he took it seriously.
Well, yeah, but Deadpool went back in time to correct that timeline.
Exactly. In a very final way.
Welcome to the big times.
So am I just a complete lightweight for being like this after one beer, or is this thing like fortified?
It's very strong.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a high proof beer. It's 11%.
Okay.
Budweiser is like 5.
I mean, I see the number, but like 11% doesn't mean anything to me. Okay.
A lot stronger than most beers.
All right. If I can just get past the taste,
Okay. Maybe the last movie Ryan Reynolds was in that he took it seriously might have been Smokin' Aces, which was not a serious movie, but his character played it serious.
I actually don't remember that movie ever existing, so okay.
It was kind of a hodgepodge. I don't know how I feel about it.
It had quite the cast, though.
It was definitely an ensemble cast.
I mean, just all sorts of everybody, and it was fun. Strange, but fun. A lot of gunplay.
Not necessarily realistic gunplay, but a lot of gunplay.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Alex Rocco was in that one. I wonder if that was like his last film. He just recently passed away. He was the guy who played Mo Green in the Godfather films. And he was an actual gangster from Boston.
In the TV show Episodes, he plays Matt LeBlanc's father, or played Matt LeBlanc's father.
In what episodes?
The TV show called Episodes. Yes, it's very confusing.
That's not confusing at all.
Don't worry, nobody else watched it either.
Hey, it's a fun show. But no, it was not. That was 2006, and he was working right up to, well, I mean, technically he's working past his date of death, because there were two things that came out after he passed.
Mm-hmm. Matt LeBlanc's dead?
No.
Alex Rocco.
Alex Rocco, who played Matt LeBlanc's father.
These are the jokes.
I think that means it might be time to start wrapping it up.
Oh no, I think this means that we should start going even further. Somebody get Aaron a bottle of whiskey.
So
I've still got a bottle of rum here.
Well, there you go.
Rum.
So
let's do shots.
I would like to briefly touch on something that I've just been reading about and really wanted to just kind of touch on it briefly, is that so there was a big confrontation between Antifa and I can't remember who the other group was in Portland.
Patriot Prayer, Patriot Pride, Proud Boys, one of those.
Yeah, it was.
Is that the one where the reporter, Mr. Ngo, was attacked?
Yes.
Yes.
And yeah, and a number of people were attacked. And again, I'm not gonna go too deep into Antifa. I like to keep the show relatively nonpartisan. I've got a number of people who are left of center, if not extremely liberal, who are friends or just people I meet in my day to day life because I live in Massachusetts. And let me tell you, if my podcast can be the podcast that exposes them to the Second Amendment in the way that Second Amendment advocates view it, without it being, oh my God, all they're doing is talking about Jesus, or oh my God, all they're talking about is how awesome it is to be a Republican and how horrible it is to be a Democrat. That's one of my goals. But one of the things that was going on, I mean, obviously there was violence going on that I find very distasteful. I mean, if this is ideology here, but if you have a difference in ideology, that's when you talk. One of the things that was being done, allegedly, I've heard some people say that it wasn't, but that's immaterial, honestly, to what I'm about to say, is that allegedly somebody was handing out milkshakes. And of course, the current vogue thing to do is to throw a milkshake on somebody that you disagree with politically.
It started in Britain, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It started in the UK. But allegedly there was a group handing out milkshakes to protesters on there, which, I mean, it comes as a veiled statement of I am giving out this very, very specific food item because this is to be thrown at people we disagree with. But allegedly also that they were mixing quick drying concrete in with the milkshake. And
I believe the Portland police actually confirmed that.
Yeah, I've
yes.
I've heard. I haven't tracked it down. And again, like I said, it's immaterial to the argument that I'm making. But I have heard I've seen some people give what looks like very credible sources that in fact there was quick drying concrete being mixed in with this. And I've also, while diving through this, I've read of a few other stories where various chemical bombs were being made by people as a means to throw at the opposition. Mm-hmm. But the key point I'm getting at is that quick drying concrete is very alkaline. So therefore it will cause chemical burns when it's on you. And somebody pointed out the fact that when you mix it with a sugary substance like milkshake, it then raises the viscosity of it. So therefore not only will it give chemical burns, but it will stick to your skin.
Yes. I can actually read the quotation on that if you'd like.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's super important, but also the idea that it could stick to your eyes and that would very quickly burn your corneas and could very easily render you legally blind in an instant. Or at least in more than enough time that it would take you to get that horrible stuff off of you.
Well, here's what was in the quote. Unset liquid concrete has a pH of 12 to 13. This will cause caustic chemical burns, and if you get it in your eyes, it will cause permanent damage in a matter of seconds. Adding concrete powder to a milkshake has some interesting side effects. The sugar actively retards the setting of the concrete by several hours. There are variables here. It also makes the concrete mix especially sticky. This makes it hard to wash off and especially difficult to rinse out of the eyes. This isn't a funny thing. Throwing a concrete-laced milkshake can maim or blind, and even if it sets up before you throw it, it's a large rock. Those have been fatal for millennia. Don't do it. It's wrong.
Yes. And I would point out the fact that, yes, in fact, yeah, if you're throwing a beverage container filled with set concrete, yeah, that's a large rock. That is deadly force. If you are throwing liquid concrete, and liquid concrete possibly fortified with other chemicals, that could easily cause permanent blindness. And that is the very definition of grave bodily harm.
Yes.
And I say this with a little bit of displeasure. I say this as a deterrent. If you are one of these people that are left of center or walking left of center crowds, let your friends who might be inclined to think that this is a wee bit of fun, that this is absolutely a deadly force situation. And as I said, it was immaterial on whether or not they were in fact mixing quick drying concrete. The statement that it is being done is stating now, much like if you pull an airsoft gun on somebody, there's a good chance you might get shot. Yep. Because if they can't determine if it's a real gun or not, you are allowed by under law to assume that it is dangerous, especially if it is context like you are trying to rob a store with a fake gun. You might get shot and killed for that. If you are just throwing a regular milkshake at somebody, at this point in time, it might not be considered unreasonable for someone to assume that you might have laced it with something horrible.
Yeah, there was an incident not that long ago where protesters threw a liquid at a conservative speaker who was going to a speaking event that at first they thought it was urine that was in it, and then it turned out to be some other mildly acidic chemical.
Yeah, and it looks like I'm seeing reports now that apparently the milkshakes that were being thrown were vegan milkshakes, and the the vegan part of it meant that it had that chalky, dry, nasty consistency to it. Which I'm hoping that is correct, because I really like to think that people aren't to the point of actually throwing cement at people
or other caustic chemicals.
Right. Yeah.
but as Weird said, the belief that people are doing that is enough to raise the cost of getting any chemical or liquid or whatever thrown at you to the reasonable belief of a deadly force situation.
Yes. Well, yeah, and even before now, throwing something that is solid or semi-solid or, you know, unidentified liquid, as you guys were talking about, you know, anything basically beyond standard water.
Right. Of course, keep in mind that most acids look like water until they're burning your skin off.
Well, yes, but
and there have been a increasing number of acid attacks in England.
This is true.
So it's stupid games are going to win lethal prizes if people don't dial it back.
Yeah. I got to. How about people just don't throw things?
That's and that's the takeaway. And I don't want to beat this to death, but I just wanted to out on the. This is not anything. I mean, those of us who have our concealed carry permits and go armed as we go about the day. I don't put the gun on because I want to shoot somebody. I put the gun on because I don't want to shoot anybody. And I hope to God that I never need it. But in the event that I need it, hopefully I'm one of the many cases where just the presentation of the firearm is all that's needed. But let me tell you, if it comes down to me not coming home to see my wife and daughter or my wife and daughter not being with me anymore, being harmed, I'll put somebody else on the ground. And
this is
one of those situations on the look, man, I don't want to shoot somebody at a protest,
but it's not off the table.
If I am concerned that I or somebody else around me who is innocent and not inciting violence is going to get permanently blinded or severely burned. Yeah, no, that's not a good place to be. And again, that's just something on the. I don't think anybody wants this. And so I'm saying this as a public service announcement that we need to start dialing this crap back because at some point in time we're going to reach a tipping point.
Oh yeah.
When I'm teaching the permit classes, one of the things that I mention at several points is that. You should, as the permit holder, never be the one to instigate or encourage or in any way be viewed as the cause of the incident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, de-escalate, depart. Whatever you need to do, you're not there to have a gunfight.
Yeah.
However, if someone is attacking you in one of the ways that we discussed in the class, then your responsibility is to neutralize that threat.
Yep.
Now, 90-something% of the time, neutralizing the threat means showing that you're armed and they run away. The other 8% of the time, you neutralize the threat. And if the best way to neutralize the threat is to make it assume room temperature, that's mm-hmm. their choice, not yours.
Yep.
And unfortunately with this, you know, everybody's been talking about the milkshakes, but there were some pretty good beatings that happened.
Oh yeah. Oh, I mean, just straight up clubbing.
It too.
I mean, that reporter who was, had the whatever it was thrown on him, whether it turned out to be a vegan milkshake or whatever, was beaten so badly that he had a cerebral hematoma.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I guess I will swing things back around to more positive things after.
Yes, please. Please.
Weird.
Yeah, and I've got one more humorous story to share just as we're done. But go ahead, Audible.
Okay. Well, I mean this is kind of a wrap up with the main topic, so I'll let you go ahead and go. Okay,
well, so this one, and I think David, you will be greatly amused by this story.
I can right use here. That.
I will just read it out to you. Is that a gentleman walked into a Dunkin' Donuts Baskin Robbins shop in New York, and he adjusted his pants, and from the photo, it looks like a Ruger Security 9 dropped out of his pants, and there were three cops in this Dunkin' Donuts.
Oops. I like the caption. Repeat felon dropped loaded gun inside donut shop full of cops.
We have a winner.
So yeah, I mean, he's really doing the trifecta. He's a repeat felon, so yep. He can't have a gun. He's in New York City, where it is practically impossible to legally acquire a handgun carry license. and he dropped it in front of police officers.
It's also a double stack, and I've got a, it does not look like that is a limited magazine. So there's an extra bonus for you.
Well, it looks like the ammunition lined up next. So it looks like it's only 9 rounds. However, it's New York City, which has a 7-round maximum capacity.
Well, I think that got struck down, but...
The state level did. New York City is its own country.
Oh, yeah. I've listened to the segments.
Yeah, because fudge New York.
Right? Oh, drat. I forgot to bring fudge for Aaron.
There will be other events.
All right. And so let's I think we've gone plenty long. I think I shall let Oddball close it out.
So speaking of other events, like I said earlier, this weekend, which I believe we're publishing this, if you're a Patreon member, you'll have a chance, but if you're not, you'll miss it. I am running I'm helping run a science fiction convention in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, called Hypericon. And if you're in the neighborhood and want to have a good time, come swing by and say hi. And I do want to say, if you've ever thought about going to a science fiction convention, go, I would avoid the, ones that have the, oh, this is clearly an autograph, mill type place. And a lot of the good ones are completely volunteer run. LibertyCon is, completely volunteer run. Those guys don't make a cent off of what they did that last weekend. And Brandy and Fritz and the rest of them, they worked very hard to put on a very good convention. So
through a lot of hardships, both personal and otherwise.
Yeah. One, Uncle Timmy, the guy who founded it and ran it for.
And Brandy's father.
And he ran it for 20 some years. I forget what year they're on now.
This was 32, but there were two. There was a repeat 1 year.
He passed away this year, which for the Southeast fandom was a pretty big blow. And they had to change hotels and they had to change dates on top of the normal madness. And that's what, you know, that's them doing it on the side. That's not their job.
Yeah, they're all volunteers.
So if you go to one of these events and you have a good time, make sure to let the folks that are running it know. And if you see something that needs to be done better, as my wife is saying in the background, be careful on how you say it because you might find yourself in charge of said changes. Also be careful on how you say it because, again, that this isn't their day job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. If you come up with a suggestion that requires activity, guess what? You just volunteered for that activity.
That's how a lot of us end up on staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Aaron has fallen asleep on us.
I think you're correct. So I think that's time for us to call it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. I will start in reverse order. Thank you so much, Xander, for coming on again.
Well, the first taste was free.
One of us.
Speaking of getting roped into being staff.
I'm going to have to keep some of this in. I'll be able to edit a lot of it out, but Aaron is fast asleep on it. Aaron, wake up. There. I gotcha.
Lovely.
We're wrapping up. We also have Oddball.
Have a good time, guys.
We have David.
Enjoy your conventions and be excellent to each other.
And I will be kind to Aaron and not ask for any sort of outro because she is exhausted. But
we went to LibertyCon and he didn't. Our con schedules are assorted and so is our podcast. Good night, everybody.
Pure genius. Thank you so much. Good night, everybody.